It's Here and Now. I'm Jeremy Hobson. So imagine this. A young man is given thousands of documents that prove that the government has been monitoring American citizens in the name of national security. Should he make them public and put himself at risk, or should he just let it go? Sounds like Edward Snowden or Bradley Manning, but it is actually about a fictional character named Marcus Yallow. He is the hacker hero of the young adult novel Homeland by Cory Doctorow, which came out earlier this year. At the beginning of the book, a fellow hacker named Masha gives him a USB stick which has sensitive information about the Department of Homeland Security.
I was feeling a little lightheaded. Masha was giving me the keys to decode all the ugliest secrets of the American government, all the stuff that had so horrified loyal DHS employees that they'd felt the need to smuggle it out. Masha herself would be so hot that she was practically radioactive. I could hardly believe that space lasers weren't beaming out of the sky to kill her where she sat. And me? Well, once I had the key, no one could be sure that I hadn't downloaded the insurance file and had a look. And so that meant I was, fundamentally, a dead man.
That's Cory Doctorow reading from Homeland, and Cory Doctorow joins us now from WBEZ in Chicago to talk about it. Cory, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, so it's kind of amazing to have this book coming out at a time when we are hearing about all of these issues in the news.
Yeah, well, and in fact, this is the sequel to a book that I wrote in 2008 that involves really similar kinds of shenanigans. And I fear that this is a somewhat timeless topic for now, that we have this enormous temptation before us in the power to surveil in ways that really beggar the imagination and make Orwell look like a punter. And so it seems that for so long as the discussion about surveillance starts and ends with, well, don't you know that there are terrorists out there, that the state's temptation to just go crazy is never going to be checked.
Well, we should catch listeners up also. I mean, Homeland is the sequel to your best-selling book, Little Brother, which in which terrorists attack San Francisco, and in response, the Department of Homeland Security takes more and more civil liberties away. Marcus and his friends start working to undermine the government's efforts using their computer skills. I mean, it's a very dark world you're painting.
You know what it is? It's a world that expresses the optimism and the pessimism of network communications. So the optimism of network communications is that they enable us to work together in ways that are just amazing, that make the dreams of our forebears look unimaginative. Little Brother is a book about 17-year-olds who kick the Department of Homeland Security out of San Francisco and restore the Bill of Rights to America.
Right.
So that's not exactly a dark world. But on the other hand, it's about the pessimism of the technological era, that sense that if we don't do something, if we don't master our technology, if we don't insist that technology be used to liberate rather than to enslave, that we no longer have to choose between Orwell, Huxley, and Kafka. We can get all three of them in one neat technological package.
Well, is it a warning then to young people who read this? I mean, do you feel that they are not getting a message that they need to be getting about the power of government?
You know, I actually think that there's lots of young people who are completely anxious about government and suspicious of it. I think that's a pretty natural state to be in when you're an adolescent in any event. But I think that what we lack maybe at this moment is enough young people who understand that they have in their hands the technological tools they need to organize and to hold government to account. So I really hope that what young people take away from these books is not just the warning, but also the inspiration, the sense that if they work together, that they can do things collectively that really can, for the first time in a long time, check against institutionalized incumbent power.
Well, so is that what this is about? I mean, this is about thinking about the world as something that you can change.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a lesson that Marcus learns over and over again in these books, is that as nice as it is to use your technological savvy and nous to get around the problems that bureaucracies or unfair governments throw up in front of you, that the real mission is to use that technology to organize to make lasting social change, not to make a crack that's only big enough for you to wriggle through, but to improve the world so that everybody, and not just the masters of technology, get to enjoy the free, fair life that we all deserve.
Given what we're looking at right now with Edward Snowden and Bradley Manning, if the whole government could read your book and approach things in a different way, how do you think that they would? With what you have taught in Homeland, how would things be different?
Well, I think that I'm with the mainstream of security thinking when I say that there is no security in obscurity, that a security system that you design and then don't tell anyone how it works is a security system that's only good enough to foil people who are stupider than you, and that the only experimental methodology for finding out whether a security system works is to tell people how it works, let them attack it, let them tell you what flaws they found, and to patch it and improve it bit by bit. And so this secret security that has dominated the way that we conduct our lives since 9/11 has really undermined real security. You know, we're not even allowed to have a discussion about whether or not nude scanners or shoe removal or 100 milliliter liquid limits have any nexus with security, because anytime you ask a question about it, it's as though you are yourself abetting the terrorist. You know, if we told you what we were looking for in your liquids, well, then the terrorists would know what we're looking for in your liquids. And, you know, I'm a guy who spends a lot of time on airplanes. I live in London, which has been attacked by terrorists more recently until the Boston bombing, had been attacked by terrorists more recently than most other Western cities. And I worry about this stuff, and that's why I want to have transparent security. That's why I want to have security that works well and isn't just a theater of security and isn't just a feel-good set of means that undermine the cause of real security.
This book certainly makes you question trust in institutions. I wonder what age you think it's appropriate for kids to start mistrusting things.
You know, as the father of a five-year-old, I'm here to tell you that it starts around the time that they figure out that when you say, this is going to be delicious, honey, and you get them to take their medicine. You know, I think that mistrusting institutions is kind of a fancified way of saying be curious about institutions, question what's around you, try and poke and prod at reality. Formulate hypotheses about what you've seen, make experiments, conduct those experiments. I mean, it's not so much about mistrust, it's about understanding through trying to see all the way to the logic, trying to see all the way to how the system is supposed to work from its soup to its nuts.
If the goal in writing these books is not just to entertain, but also get kids to act, do you think that they're listening?
Oh, I sure do. I mean, one story that I really love was a young person who wrote to me and he said, you know, I read your book and it made me start thinking about how awful the censorship software in my school is and how it censors all kinds of things that inappropriately that I should be able to get at. So I looked up the instructions for getting around it. Now I'm getting around it. And I wrote back and I said, you know, you've just solved your problem. You haven't solved your school's problem and you haven't solved our society's problem. Why don't you think bigger? Why don't you start asking your fellow students about the problems that they have? Why don't you systematically gather information about the way that this censorware is undermining your education? Why don't you file Freedom of Information Act requests? And then why don't you start presenting that to your school board and your PTA and your board of supervisors? Start trying to make a real social change. And this kid took the bit between his teeth and he really ran with it.
Wow.
And got a sense that solving a problem for yourself, well, you know, that's nice, but solving a problem for everybody, that's a much, much more important mission.
Cory Doctorow is the author of Homeland, and you can read an excerpt at hereandnow.org. Cory, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you.
And Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. And Robin, now let's acknowledge the team that fuels this engine.
Let's. Alex Ashlock directs and produces, as does Lynn Menegon, Emiko Tamagawa, Hitesh Hati, Jill Ryan, Catherine Gorman, Rachel Rohr, Natalie Winston, Eileen Balinski, Jessica Alpert, and today Karen Miller-Metzen, Chiquita Pascal, and Rachel Gutbaum.
Our production assistant is Kainat Khan, and our intern is the fabulously named Tizzy Hope Brown. Our newscast producer is Rachel Paste.
Our technical director, Doug Sugertz, our managing editors are Kevin Sullivan and Chris Ballman. Kathleen McKenna is the boss of us.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Chipotle Mexican Grill, committed to the respect of animals, farmers, and the environment. Local sourcing and menu information at chipotle.com.